I am officially declaring a national emergency.
Unprecedented times call for unprecedented actions.
Starting tomorrow, NBA play is suspended.
NCAA has canceled the men's and women's basketball tournaments.
Welcome to Managing the Crisis, brought to you by Core Image Studio.
The number of Americans filing claims for unemployment benefits has hit a record high.
There are fears that the Dow will drop and drop quickly.
The media giants are under pressure from a dramatic pullback in ad spending.
Now here's your host, the president of Barrett Sports Media, Jason Barrett.
Welcome once again to the Managing the Crisis podcast presented by Core Image Studio. I am Jason Barrett, and believe it or not, but this is our 14th episode. That's usually the length of a season of the Barrett Sports Media podcast, which, by the way, will be back in the future. One big difference, though, I've done these 14 episodes over a period of 6-plus weeks. It's a lot of time and work, but I've really enjoyed doing it. Hope you have as well. Given what we're going through with this pandemic, I think it's important to hear from people in the media industry who represent different areas of the business and have a hand in its success. Today, I'm thrilled to welcome Jill Albert to the podcast. Jill is the president and founder of Direct Results, which has locations in both New York City and Los Angeles. For those who made it to LA for the BSM Summit in 2019, Jill was a part of our advertising panel at the conference. She's long been a believer in the radio business and works with stations across the country on campaigns for a number of clients, so I thought it'd be helpful to get her point of view since we're all searching for answers on how to recover dollars and move the business back to where it was just a few short months ago. Before I dive into that discussion, though, a quick heads up on the next episode. I'll be joined by ESPN 1000 market manager and programming guru Mike Thomas. Mike took a step up in title when he moved from Boston to Chicago. Little did he know, though, that his entry into running an entire operation would involve having to manage a new team through the worst situation in our professional lifetime. That conversation will be out later this week. But now it's time to get a deeper education on the advertising world and all the challenges being dealt with by agencies and local and national advertisers. And who better to help us understand it than the president and founder of Direct Results, Jill Albert. Jill, I appreciate you making time today to join me. I've got a ton I want to pick your brain on. You represent some pretty key advertisers and have a lot of dialogue with radio stations. Phone and email, I'm sure, come into play often, but with offices in New York and LA, I'm guessing travel is important as well. Have you booked any trips for the immediate future?
I think you've probably seen, you know, this has been like a wave of up and down where originally people really wanted to work together and then people got a little bit frustrated with the cancellations and the changes and now people are working together again. But I always feel like we're such a team, and when we work with our broadcasters and our, you know, our vendors, when we can look at each other across the desk or table or whatever the case is, we do better. So I booked a flight for June 15th, but I don't think it's going to happen. But I'm so anxious to get back and see people again.
You don't realize, you know, like there's a lot of things that can be done virtually, but the best creativity and the best conversations develop when you're in front of people. So if you can't do that, you feel like you're missing a part of what you're good at.
And so much of it is that trust. And when you see people and when you work together and you spend time together, you innately want to do good work for the person that you're sharing time with, right?
Right, right.
But I think so many people right now, and I'm really feeling so much better about it now than we were 3 or 4 weeks ago. But I think some of the people, like we might be working with the president of a broadcasting group and they might be a great partner of ours and they might be getting, you know, hell from the CEO that's saying, I don't give a rat's ass if they don't have any money. They have a cancel their contract. You know?
Right, right.
And I think for me, we may not be making anywhere near as much. You know, there's not as many dollars in the books, but we're certainly working harder than ever. You know what I mean?
I feel the same way. We've done so many more stories and, you know, trying to put things together to help salespeople retain dollars and come up with ideas to help programmers. Even if you could keep ratings flat right now with the way that their listener behavior is off, you know, that's a win right now. And so you're doing all this extra work, and obviously the revenue is a lot less, and that makes it harder. But if you're not doing that, you're probably easier to replace in the whole process, so you have to do it.
This is the time to be smarter, more creative, to put better systems together, to like everything that was ever a dream, give it a shot.
I mentioned as we were starting out, you're back and forth between New York and California. Those two states in particular have been dealing with more chaos than others, which I'm sure has created some adjustments and challenges. Since the pandemic became a major focus in mid-March, how have you had to adjust your business?
Well, of course, everybody has been at home for the last 9 weeks. We are actually communicating probably more often than ever because we're not together, and that you know, we need to connect so that we can talk about what's working and how to get best practices. So all of our offices have been closed. We now connect 3 times a week rather than 1 time a week. That's, you know, essentially the difference in terms of our daily cadence.
What about as far as keeping the same level of creativity and keeping the same level of work ethic and passion? Because, you know, when people get out of their element and their routine, some of those things can go away, especially if you're not having those face-to-face conversations where ideas get, you know, spawned. So how do you guys maintain that?
Well, I think, so we instantly started, you know, a quarantine list of things that we wanted to accomplish during the quarantine, which is really all those things that have been on your list, but you haven't been able to get to. So we've created teams and task force to put together how to get better at certain procedures, how to make sure that they're connecting on a constant basis with broadcasters and with clients, how to develop better ideas and better connections, and really kind of spending a lot more time talking with our partners, our business partners, about how we can help advertisers be uber focused and uber successful. So I wouldn't say that the productivity has decreased. I think it's just as strong as it's always been. And I think to some degree, people are getting smarter, better, and more effective because they have to. And the coolest thing about what's going on right now, from my perspective, is that, you know, it used to be back in the old days that we all worked together to come up with great solutions for advertisers. And then, you know, as a lot of radio went to Wall Street, it was more about the money. And now we're all uber focused again on best outcomes for advertisers, how to support those advertisers with every ounce of our connections and our energy. And so we are seeing some really good results, really, quite frankly, very consistent results.
You know, it's interesting about that. Radio and TV companies right now are doing some great creative. Obviously, listening behavior is off because you're going to have some stations that see massive spikes just because their content is really of value right now. Like News Talk is going to go through some massive spikes because of the pandemic. Sports is going to go through some struggles just for the fact that there's no live events. And in that time, radio and TV have to deal with the advertising declines. That being said, you wrote a great piece, which I loved, Why Radio in a Time of Crisis, which highlighted, you know, people actively listening to radio, the medium being a trusted source for information. And your point to the whole piece was this is a time where advertisers should be active. What were some of the positives and negatives you've heard in response to that column, which, again, I thought was fantastic?
Oh, well, thank you. I think it makes perfect sense, and we all know that people have been listening to their favorite personalities for months, for years, and they consider those people to be part of their inner circle, per se. You know, we all went home. We all set up our home offices. I think most of us felt like it might be a few weeks, and certainly it's turning out to be much longer. And I think we, you know, we in no time at all, we miss those personalities and we miss the point of view that we heard from those personalities in terms of how they felt about what was going on, how they were dealing. And really, you know, not only the point of view of personalities, but also just being entertained by our favorite radio stations. So I think a lot of consumers got, you know, they left radio and then they came back because they wanted to be entertained again and they wanted to talk to somebody again. So as we're able to tap back into that, we see that radio stations have been very effective at connecting. And when I say connecting, I really mean, you know, not delivering a message, but connecting with consumers. And that's turned into good outcomes for our advertisers. So I think that that's been helpful. We saw, you know, people leaving radio, and now we're seeing people come back to most formats. Humes are steady. time spent listening is redistributed, but it's steady. And the connection is stronger than ever. And radio stations are really working with advertisers to give them a better value. So, for instance, we've seen not only value in terms of maybe more spots, but we've seen additional elements like social media.
Mm-hmm.
A number of our local and national hosts have been doing interviews with our clients to talk to them about how they're addressing the pandemic. Interviews are so well received and, you know, not that easy to get, but because the broadcasters are so thankful to have the advertisers on the air, they want to share the story of the advertisers with their listeners. So that's been kind of a cool thing. A lot of cool stuff's going on.
Yeah, there's been a lot more of that, which I think especially in this time is needed. It's interesting. You were talking about the personalities and the point of view. And I think sometimes, especially in talk, I think endorsements, although everybody knows they're important, I don't think sometimes that even local and national advertisers realize how powerful they can be. I saw this example, and this isn't even a company that does well in radio ratings at all. Barstool, Dave Portnoy is their founder, and you know they've got their footprint in podcasting, social, and the web, and some like their point of view, some don't. But I saw two stories in the last week where a local pizza company in Detroit and another in Atlanta both talked about a record number of orders to their shops after Portnoy gave them high remarks for their quality of pizza. And I saw it and I went, you know, first of all, it was a great story. Like, here's these two pizza places on the brink of going under, trying to fight to stay alive, having to lay off staff. And now they're having to hire back their staff because one guy went out there and said, support these guys. And all of a sudden, now they're back doing great numbers. In sports and news talk, these things exist, you know, in every community. You've got a lot of people out there that have commanding, attention spans with the audience, and their word counts. When you talk to local and national clients, where do they place endorsements versus other things, whether it be play-by-play, run of schedule, ratings? Like, what holds the highest value, I guess, is where I'm going with clients.
Yeah, what holds the highest value, endorsements are extremely powerful because it doesn't matter as much how many people are listening as much as it matters how we're able to connect with those consumers and deliver a message that's relevant to them and get them to respond. So like your story about the pizza and Barstool, which they're so good and they're so endearing and they're so connected. And you love those stories because what they're doing is they're helping the community, right?
Yep.
They're helping the guy who owns the pizza parlor. And it doesn't matter if he owns one pizza parlor, if he owns 50 of them, those guys are in trouble. And as our personalities can legitimately deliver messages, there's nothing that's more powerful. And that's really not my opinion. I love endorsement advertising. We handle a number of endorsers, Omaha Steaks, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter that the cost per thousand is low. It matters that that host is legitimately sharing their story and being able to clearly articulate how good it would feel tonight to have a nice dinner after working at the house,
right,
14 hours, that kind of a thing. So endorsements are very, very powerful. And, you know, sports talk has forever been all about opinions. And it's always been that lean in format that people want to hear what that personality has to say. So as long as it's legitimately done, there's nothing more powerful than a good, solid endorsement.
You know, I'm glad you said that because I'm with you. And I think, you know, if you look in most markets, the successful sports stations usually have one or two people on the air who have some major influence over a local community. And if they really put their heart into what they're talking about, if they really do enjoy Omaha Steaks and they're talking for it, people are going to buy that steak because the person they listen to has endorsed it. Where do ratings factor into those discussions? Because I'll talk to program directors and hosts, and they're all conditioned to look at our numbers, look at how great they are. And I've always said this, like, yeah, listen, we're creatures of competition. We want the numbers to say that people are listening. But at the end of the day, I'll take a guy who can move 100 orders of steak over a guy with better ratings who can only move 10. Where does it factor in when you're making your decisions on whether or not to do business with a sports station?
The ratings are just a starting point. So we look at the audience. We look a lot at, well, we listen to other spots that have been done by that host. We're looking really for how honest and endearing and legitimate that host sounds. So while ratings are absolutely a starting point, it's one of the things that we, one of the things on the list that we sort of check off. During this time, and Omaha Steaks is you know, one advertiser, but during this time, there's been a lot of personalities or a lot of salespeople that have sent in spots for that advertiser or for other local advertisers. And if we like it, then we'll give it a shot. It's not only just on the radio. So, for instance, they can put together a great spot on the radio and it'll make an impact. And then they'll send out a tweet or they'll post a picture on Instagram. And all of that factors into the final results. And that's what I think stations are doing a little bit more effectively now. They're not just selling a cost per thousand or a cost per point, which is such a small part of the overall package. They're selling a program that's going to help the advertiser be successful. And they're doing it really legitimately.
When you look around and when you talk to others who are active with business or non-active with business, which categories right now seem to be the most busiest with still supporting radio? And which ones are you seeing take a step back that we're going to have to work to get them back to the table?
Any kind of a home business is very, very hot. We're also doing a decent amount of recruitment for some of these home businesses. The financial sector is sort of some of our financial clients are on and some of them are off. It's in terms of the loan business, it's hard to know. They don't yet have new formulas for how to make sure they're lending to the right people.
Yep.
Some of them are continuing and some of them are off. What we're seeing now is a resurgence of retail as they come back to market. So we've got one major retailer that's state by state introducing their what's going on with their stores. They're open. These are the safety measures they're taking. They're giving special discounts because, of course, they've been closed for so long, so they have an abundance of inventory. So retail is a huge opportunity. Food is a huge opportunity because it's something that makes us all happy, right?
Yeah.
We're also trying to do some things with sort of the health and wellness segment, because that's been a difficult category for radio because you haven't been able to have hard, fast claims. But right now, people want to be, they're uber focused on health and on wellness. I think I read consumption of baked goods and ice cream is up 84%. So if you can, yeah, exactly. Makes sense, huh?
Yeah.
So as you can tell consumers about great products that you like that might be healthy or, you know, make people feel good, it's a great thing to do. There's so many products out there. Share with the consumer what you as a personality like and why, and it'll work. We're doing some home food delivery. We're doing that for one of our wellness clients, and sales are out of this world because people don't have to go to the market. They get mm-hmm. fresh food delivered daily, and it's healthy.
There are still going to be people buying products. It may not be what we're used to. Yeah, there are going to be some industries like auto right now where maybe you're not going out to buy cars as often as you did before, but you're ordering groceries, you're ordering takeout. You still want to do things for your family members, you know, when birthdays and anniversaries and Mother's Day comes. So you're just having to do it a little differently. As far as messaging goes, I'm interested to get your perspective on this, because there's the one side where you want to tug on the heartstrings and remind people that you're with them during a tough time. On the other hand, you don't want to put the television or radio on and hear the same, you know, we're in it together from 16 commercials in a row. So when you're talking to clients about what they should be telling the audience at this point, what are some of the things that you go over with them as far as making sure that they strike the right tone with listeners?
So we want to talk about health and wellness. We want to talk about safety, making sure that people know that the product is, or the product or the service is being managed in a very safe way, that it's going to make people happy. We want to talk about how that company is giving back to the community. So maybe, for instance, right now we're doing something for HomeAdvisor. So HomeAdvisor is, they're in business to help homeowners improve their homes. But right now, a lot of people don't want people inside of their homes. So they're doing a campaign right now to reach out to service providers. And what they're doing is they're offering every service provider free advertising if they go on the site. So it's kind of a neat thing about how they're going to give back to that service provider community. So the answers would be health and wellness, safety, value to the consumer, and also how that product or service is really giving back to the community, supporting the front lines, supporting the businesses. Essentially, what we want to do is we want to help the advertiser articulate why the consumer should choose that advertiser versus a competitor, mm-hmm. because people are going to have less money and they're going to have a lot of choices, and we want to give them every reason to choose our advertiser. Make sense?
Yeah, totally makes sense. I want to get your opinion on another thing, because I think as we come out of this pandemic, and given the fact that we've had to adjust and do things a lot differently, we're going to learn from this. Some of it's going to be for the better. Some of it, you know, we'll go, thank God we can get back to a building and connect again. But as you look towards the future, you know, you look at the past couple years, podcasting has been rising from a revenue standpoint. Radio has traditionally been the 14 to 16 minutes per hour business, and you know that this is how the clock's going to be structured on a radio station. But if advertising's down, that might change that. Where do you see some of those things going in the future? Do you see radio rebounding to be what it was 6 months ago from an advertising standpoint? Do you see podcasting continuing to climb, or do you see some of these things being changed as a result of what we've went through?
I certainly hope that radio will come back to where it has been. And I think it makes good sense that it will, as long as radio stations are responsible in their approach to working with advertisers and consumers, delivering for consumers. I think that podcasting is going to continue to grow, because in this current lifestyle that we're living, people are able to reach out and choose media that is interesting and intriguing and educational for them.
Mm-hmm.
So podcasting is a really great way to go out and get the information that you want, as opposed to just having a bunch of stuff delivered to you and you have to pick and choose what you want. So I do see a lot of engagement with podcasting, and I like it. People are more deliberate in their actions right now because they have a little bit more time to think. And I think podcasting is part of that. You know, right now there's, I think, over 1 million podcasts. That can't survive.
Right. To that point of what you're touching on, there's also probably better value for the advertiser, too, because you're one of maybe two. You know, in some cases, you're the only one. And you get to really be part of that program versus one of 16 an hour.
Absolutely. Return on investment in the podcast space is excellent. And we're seeing, for our direct response advertisers, we're seeing very, very strong return. Equally as strong as radio, in some cases stronger.
I want to, before I wrap up with you, I want to get your feedback on a story that, I don't know if you saw the Wall Street Journal yesterday, but this is more for TV. And you see projections all over the place. Some are calling for quarter three to be the rebound. Some say quarter four. Others have first quarter of 2021. But then yesterday I'm talking to sports people and they're all freaking out because a piece was published by the Wall Street Journal that said big companies like Domino's, General Motors, Pepsi, and General Mills were considering canceling their advertising for the fall, especially if they don't know which shows are going to come back, if sports are going to happen. There could be over $1 billion lost in revenue, and that'll just crush some of these networks. What are you hearing as far as a turnaround for the advertising business? Do you hear quarter three, quarter four? What signs are you seeing that would give you optimism that we'll get through this?
Well, I think that we're going to be in a test and learn scenario for quite some time. So as we reopen retail, we're going to find things that work and find things that don't work. Certainly, we all know, and we've seen over and over again, that advertisers that stay present rebound much quicker from a recession, and that's a good reason to stay engaged, as long as we do so responsibly. What I'm seeing is May and June are certainly stronger than April. I think it's going to be a very slow build. But I do think there's going to be a nice build throughout the summer, a slower cadence. And then I'm hoping that in fourth quarter, we all settle into this new normal that's going to provide us with reasons to go out and spend. I think, you know, it's like when you think about other recessionary periods, we all go through periods where we, as consumers, feel like we're not worthy of spending. We need to stop spending.
Yep.
And then there comes a time where you kind of need to go out and create happiness again. And part of that comes from spending. And those advertisers that are going to be on the air are going to reap the benefits as long as their message is legit. So I would just say a slow build from here on out. There's going to be two steps forward and one step back. But as long as we're responsible in our messaging and we work together, I think that we will continue to experience a nice build.
You know, as unfortunate as this whole situation's been for everybody, I think, you know, there's two ways of looking at it. You could just sit there with the gloom and doom approach and say, "Well, it's all going down." Or you could say, "How am I going to take this time to come out the other side and take advantage of the opportunity to rebound?" Just like your piece, which I thought was tremendous, I saw one in April. It was done on Marketing Week by Mark Ritson, who talked about recessions ultimately provide the opportunity for businesses to be built during these times. And it goes back to, like, right now we do have people paying attention to, you know, the airwaves. They're watching TV. They're doing all these things that they still want to know about things that they can spend their money on, even if they may be a little tighter at getting to it right now. On the other hand, if you're a market manager, Jill, or you're a sales manager, this is probably the most difficult time that you've ever went through professionally, because every day you're answering a phone going, how long until I pick this up and get another cancellation? And when you're off 60 to 80% in revenue, you just constantly get beat up. So if you're giving them some advice today, what would you tell a GM or a sales manager who's listening to this on, you know, coming out of this?
I would say we are all in it together, and if we collaborate and we take the best of our experiences, we're going to be better off. We need to collaborate. We need to use our, like, not just ideas, but really what's worked and how can we legitimately give advertisers the best value and help them win. And if our focus is at all times on the advertiser's best outcome, we're going to get there. The personalities are tremendously helpful, and we have to look at, I mean, the personalities are a great asset. They've been talking to and connecting with listeners maybe for months, maybe for years. Listeners want that. They want to continue to connect with people. They want to connect with people that they trust. So let's use those personalities and all the assets of the company, and in the purest form, collaborate with one another to bring advertisers great value. It's happening now, and we're only going to get better at it. And if we continue to provide advertisers with value, we're going to be okay. We're always going to have to take risks, and all of us that are working have always taken risks in our, you know, businesses. Mm-hmm. And this is such a community and such a collaborative business. You know, it's not going to be easy, but we can do this.
I always remind folks that the radio station needs the agency needs the radio station. And so, although we're both dealing with the same thing, you don't want to take a call from a client telling you they're not going to advertise. The radio station doesn't want to take that call. So you try to do the best you can together and hope that, hey, look, if we can help somebody's business stay afloat or continue to grow, that's why we're doing this and spending the time on it. So hopefully we'll come out of this and have some better days ahead where we can talk about the business being back on track and what we have to do to grow it even further.
We are absolutely going to come out of this. It is a tunnel, and there's a light at the end of it. And when you think about from the very beginning, radio stations were given their licenses to serve the community, and that's what they've always done. And if they get back to those basics, it's going to be okay. It's going to be tough. Going to be hard. And I can't stand taking those calls. And to your point, I never know if it's going to be a call of, hey, you know what, let's give it a shot or canceling all of, you know, the next 3 months.
Right.
But already, you know, in the middle of May, we are already seeing progress and signs of hope. and it's hard, but we're definitely going to come out of this. We just need to be really good in our intentions. We'll be okay.
Thank you for carving out the time, because I know you're dealing with a lot of chaos right now, like we all are. It was great meeting you in Los Angeles. Continued success with Direct Results, and let's stay in touch.
Hey, great to talk with you. You're doing such good work, and the support that you're providing everybody is truly inspiring. So thank you. And good luck to everybody, but we're going to make it through this.